Living Hope Assembly of God.
If you have your Bibles this morning, hopefully you do. If you don't, I'm sure it's going to be up behind us. But turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah chapter 17. The last several weeks, we've been talking about the ingredients for success. And this week, we're going to continue in that vein, talking about the ingredients for success. Jeremiah chapter 17. And Jeremiah chapter 17 is where our subject and our text will come from. Verse 14. Are we there this morning? Amen. Amen. Praise God. Verse 14, this is Jeremiah as he is praying to God. You have to understand this morning that a lot has taken place in Jeremiah's life up to this point. A lot of ridicule, a lot of setbacks even, a lot of feelings and emotions is taking place in Jeremiah's life during this time. And this is what the prophet says in verse 14, heal me. Have you ever come to a place in your walk with God where you said, God, you have to heal this. You have to heal my heart. It hurts too bad. It's beyond my control. There's not a medication that man can create that could bring the healing that we need in that moment. Oh, Lord, and I will be healed. Save me, and I will be saved, for you are my praise. See how they say to me, where is the word of the Lord? Let it come now. As for me, I have not hurried away from being a shepherd after you, nor have I desired the woeful day. You yourself know that which came out of my lips was in your presence. In other words, what Jeremiah said up until this point, he said, everything that I have, all of my angst and all of my anxiety and all of my fears and all of my worries and what's going to happen to us as a nation and what's going to happen to us as a people, I have kept it to myself and I have not shared it with the people, and the feeling of God is this thing going to come to pass, and now all of my friends and even my adversaries, they're turning their backs on me and they're mocking me and they're ridiculing me and they're saying, if this thing's going to come to pass, if God is really using you, we need to see some examples, we need to see some evidence, we need to see some proof of God bringing these things to fruition. I don't know about you, but we live in a day and time where people are turning away from God because they're not seeing the proof that God is going to do some grand thing in their life. They're not seeing enough proof. So many people are going through so many different things that they're struggling with, things of loss, losing family members, loved ones, have caused people to turn their backs on God. And now we have the people of God in this text this morning. They are at a place, they are in bondage, and the prophet Jeremiah is proclaiming all of these things. He's telling the people that all of these things are going to come to pass if they don't turn back to him. And in reality, this is what they said. If God is going to bring these things to fruition, let it happen. If all of these bad things are going to happen, if all of these good things are going to happen, let's see it happen. I don't know if you have ever talked to someone or not that may be of the atheist mindset. And they question you if God is real, and they have a series of questions. Or if you ever talk with a person who has lost a loved one or going through a difficult time in life, and their response to you after you give them scripture, well, what about this? Why has God not done this? Why has God not done that? I don't know about you. There are times that I've gone through a season in my life, and if I were to be honest and transparent, I have come to this conclusion a time or two in my own life. God, if if you're God, if you're real, God, I need to see your hand move in my life. I need to see some things on the positive take place. I don't know about you, if you've ever been there, but I've been there. And listen to what he says. Do not be a terror to me. You are my hope in the day of disaster. Let those who persecute me be humiliated, but let me not be humiliated. Let them be dismayed, but let me not be dismayed. Bring up on them the day of evil and destroy them with double destruction. Let's pray this morning. Father, for the next few minutes, God, I pray that your name would be glorified. And Lord God, that we would glean something out of this text this morning that we can take home and apply to our lives this morning. God, use me as your vessel. God, I want to speak your word. I want to say what you would have me to say to your people. Lord God, I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. One of the things that I really glean out of this text this morning is Jeremiah's desire and his dependency on God to please him, and his desire and his ability to trust him, to lean on him as his all-sufficient means for everything. Jeremiah didn't turn to anybody else. Jeremiah turned to God. He met with God in the secret place. He didn't share his woe, his feelings of wondering if this thing was going to come to fruition. He went to God and talked to God in prayer. This morning, I want to let you know this morning, whatever you're going through, whatever you're facing, trust God. If we're going to have an ingredient, the last ingredient this morning that I want to leave with you this morning is that if we're going to move forward, there must be a high level of trust and obedience. Say that with me, a high level of trust and obedience. How many are willing to admit this morning that there are times that we don't have a whole lot of trust? Have you ever walked through a dark season in your life where it has been extremely difficult to trust God during that moment? I don't know about you, but when those moments and when those seasons take place in my life, the very thing that I want to do is trust in my own ability, in my own way of doing things. Can I get an amen? Amen. The Bible tells us in Psalm 125 and 1, those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken, but endures forever. We see this in the life of Jeremiah. As much as calamity started to take place, and as much as he saw his people living in sin and degradation and all of those things, Jeremiah's trust was in the Lord. Jeremiah was willing to put himself out there on a limb and trust God. In spite of losing friends, in spite of losing family, you have to understand that Jeremiah grew up in this small town of Anathoth, where it was a small knit community from the tribe of Judah. And you have to understand that everybody probably knew everybody. And the very people in our text this morning, throughout the book of Jeremiah, we see the people that are persecuting him, the people that are bringing all of these calamities to him, the times that he's locked in prison, the times that he's been talked about, the times that he's been lied on, are the very people that he grew up with. I want to let you know this morning that the enemy of your soul is not going to bring a stranger to you to try to pull you down. He's going to use the very people that are the closest to you. He's trying to get to your heart. He's trying to get to your heart. In essence, he's trying to get to your heart because he wants you to doubt God. He wants you to not trust God. When calamities come your way, and there's two voices that tends to speak. There's the voice of God. There's the voice of the enemy. You have a choice in the matter of which one you listen to when they begin to speak. Last week, we talked briefly about perseverance. This faith walk causes us to have to persevere at times when life seems impossible to live on our own. There are times that life is complex, and like a maze, we wonder if there will be a way out of this web of desire. During those seasons, Scripture tells us in Proverbs 3, 4 through 6, so you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. And in all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your paths straight. Did you hear that this morning? If you want to find favor, if you want to have good repute in the sight of men, you need to trust in the Lord. What are you saying, preacher, this morning? What I'm saying to you is this, that when trials and tests come your way, not only God is watching, but man is watching. See, the lost people of this world, they're looking at the church and they're waiting for a good example. They're waiting for a way out. They're looking for hope. And we are that hope because Christ Jesus lives inside of us and he is the hope of glory. So we as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ need to set a good example so that the world could see our example that we trust in the living God. It is in the darkest seasons of life when we learn to trust in God the most. It is in the hard times of life where our dependency seems to grow in our ability to trust God. Within the complexities of life, we are continually engaged in a process that leads to ups and downs, hills and valleys, highs and lows. We are victorious and yet we are defeated. We are strong and yet we are weak. We are big and then we are small. Don't let anybody fool you this morning into thinking that life is always lived on extreme highs. Don't let anybody tell you, convince you of that. I don't care how long you have known Jesus. I don't care how mature your relationship is with God. One thing is for certain, you may be saved entirely, but another thing is for certain, you're human. Human beings are fragile. I was sharing with someone the other night, isn't it just like our God to put his precious Holy Spirit in earthen vessels? If you have a vase in this building today, if I were to walk up to it and the floor was extremely hard and if I hit that vase, what would happen if it hits the floor? It's going to break. That's how we are in ourselves. But God places his Holy Spirit inside of us. And the Holy Spirit inside of us gives us the ability to do what we can't do in our own strength. The Holy Spirit is God inside of us, speaking to us throughout life. But at that moment that we're going through life, in those seasons that we're going through life, some seasons are hot, some seasons are cold, some seasons there's snow, and some seasons there's rain, and some seasons are the most pleasant time of the year. How many of you like the pleasant seasons? But God is the God of not only in the pleasant seasons, but he's the God of the snow season. He's the God of the rain season. He's God regardless of what season that we're facing in life. But we have to come to a place where we trust in the living God. He's not a God that is dead. He's a God that is alive. And he's wanting us to trust in him. It's not life when we don't trust him. Life is when we learn to trust him. But life often has really hard times. In our text this morning, we find Jeremiah the prophet, the man of God. Jeremiah the leader of the people. Jeremiah praying to God for healing and saving mercy for himself. And this morning, I need you to understand that whatever season you're in right now, whatever place you're in this morning, you need to stop and take evaluation and make sure that you are trusting God and that you're walking in obedience to His word and to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Did you hear that this morning? It's easy to trust God when life is on the mountaintop. But you really learn and grow is when you're in the valley. The last several weeks, we talked about that. We talked about a season in our life where the last ministry assignment that we were at, it was very hard. It was difficult. But it was a season where, now hindsight is 20/20. We can look back, and that's why sometimes when you go through difficult seasons in your life, it's good to turn around and look. Don't look back to go back, but look back and take evaluation and see the handprint of God all over your life so that your faith can be increased. I think it is significant that in this text, the man of God found it necessary to pause, to stop for a moment, to take a break and pray to God for healing and saving mercy for himself. There are times that we get so busy doing life that things really unravel. And we get so busy doing life. How many of you know, you can do life, you can do ministry, you can go to church, you can do all the church things, but all of a sudden when life starts to unravel, man, anxiety, depression, worry, fear, doubt, all of those things start to creep up on you. It causes you to back into the corner. And it's when you're backed in that corner. Am I talking to real people this morning with real issues, with real life problems? How many of you know we're all born again and have the Holy Spirit inside of us? But man, wow, when life starts to get after us and life starts to get hard, there are moments and times where we just want to give up. That's why the Apostle Paul, I believe, said, "Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you will reap a harvest if you faint not." Paul gives an option, that there's an option that you can faint. If you're not careful, you will give up. I want you to understand this morning that Jeremiah was grieved over the persecution that his prophecies caused. And he became a laughingstock and the target of frequent mocking. Jeremiah 20:7 tells us, "O Lord, you have deceived me, and I was deceived." And now this is the words of the prophet. This is coming from the man of God. He said, "O Lord, you have deceived me." Did you hear me? But Jeremiah is talking to God because Jeremiah understands that if I talk to God, He's the one that can give answers. You're the one that called me to this, so I need you to deliver me. It's kind of like the lady that Elijah went to her house, and all of these years she was not able to have a child. And all of a sudden she had this child, and the child was out with his father in the field, and the child became grave ill, and the child died and was placed in a room. And the lady said, "Where is that man of God?" And she chased hard after Elijah until she found him. When life gives you problems, you don't need to chase after answers over here and over there, but you need to chase the one who has all the answers. You need to chase after the one who can bring deliverance. You need to chase after the one who can set you free. The widow lady that knocked on the door of the judge, the wicked judge, the by Jesus came back on moments after that and said that we are to be just like that persistent widow. That we need to be persistent when we want something from God. Why do we chase after God? Because we know that He is our only source of strength. He is our deliverance. He is our answer giver. got to learn to trust and obey. The rest of Jeremiah 20 and 7, you are stronger than I, and I have prevailed. I am held in derision daily. Everyone mocks me, for each time I speak, I cry out. Violence and devastation because of me. The word of the Lord has resulted in reproach and derision daily. Isn't it easy for us to throw a pity party? It really is. And see, what has happened in a lot of churches, we have thrown a pity party because no one wants to hear the truth. And so what we do, we pity party and say, God, how come you have placed these hard sayings in my mouth? God, I want to preach to people and I want to say all good things because I want to fill the church up with people. I don't want to fill the church up with your presence. Do you hear me this morning, church? Jeremiah was standing on an island to himself and proclaiming the devastation of a nation that had an opportunity to turn to God, but they chose not to. The very people that Jeremiah hung with and the very people that did life with Jeremiah are now the very people that have turned their backs on him. There's something about preaching the whole counsel of God that causes a man and a woman to face themselves. And when they start to face themselves, they have a choice. And 9 times out of 10, when they have to face themselves, they're going to start to blame it on somebody. Either they're going to receive it or they're going to blame it on somebody. And when they start to blame it on somebody, if it's you, it hurts. Sister Shirley, I don't like to be ridiculed. I don't like to be made fun of. I don't like to be mocked. And can you imagine the prophet Jeremiah, a whole nation of people laughing at you? That's a hard place to be, but we see the prophet is in this place in his life. And this is what the prophet says, but if I say, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. Then his word was in my heart, was a burning fire. He said, when I began to contemplate, when I came to a place where I said, enough is enough. I want my friends back. I want my things back. I'm tired of being lonely. I want to just be normal again. Can I tell you this morning, if you are a born-again believer in this life today, in this church today, the Bible says that you are a stranger in a foreign land, that your citizenship is not here. You are ambassadors. An ambassador is someone who speaks on behalf of someone else in a foreign place. Do you hear me this morning? But he said, if I dare to even think about it, I don't know about you. There have been times I wanted to give up, but I promise you, there have been times in my life where I wanted to stop preaching because it wasn't producing the fruit that I thought it should produce. But every time I wanted to quit, it was like fire shut up in my bones. When I wanted to be quiet, I couldn't. And when I would go to work, when I was at the daycare in Texas, and we didn't know which way to turn. Ministry was not happening in our lives. And I had to get a job at a daycare and after school care. And I had like 30 kids that I was the teacher over. And there was moments that I wanted to say, hey, God, I'm done with this. But I found myself with 10 or 12 little kids around me. And I was sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. It was like fire shut up in my bones. I don't need a pulpit to preach. Do you hear me? I don't need a pulpit to preach. I don't need a building to preach. Oh my goodness, I just need a Bible, and I just need a company of one or two people, and I'm going to share the goodness of Jesus Christ. When I was locked inside of a jail after I was saved only for a little while, I was in that jail for 5 weekends in a row. I went in there disheartened, wondering what was going on. Listen, a lot of people at that place where I was in my life at that time would have probably turned around and walked away from God, but every weekend, for 5 weekends in a row, I preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. And grown men and Muslims and people who had walked away from Christ for years started to come back to Jesus. There were preachers who were way more seasoned than myself would come inside of that jail. But guess who they wanted to see? Why? Because it was real. For him who has been forgiven much, loves much. It was like fire shut up in my bones. And Jeremiah, he couldn't quit. Even when he wanted to. You can't put a cap on it. When the Holy Spirit is inside of you, when you're really saved, when you're really delivered, when you're really set free, nothing will hold you back. Maybe the only thing that could hold us back is ourselves. You can hold you back. What you're facing this morning? What are you going through this morning? See, the enemy's going to place stumbling blocks in your path that's going to challenge you to not trust God. The preacher's going to say something that you might not like, and it's going to challenge you to trust God. The preacher's going to challenge you to let go of some things in your life, and you're going to come to a crossroads, and you're going to say, do I want to listen to the word of God or what the preacher has to say, or I'm going to listen to my flesh? Everybody's trusting in something. Everybody believes in something. What are you believing in? What do you trust in? This passage does not indicate that Jeremiah was accusing God of being a liar. The Hebrew word translated deceive literally means reduced or overpowered. Jeremiah literally felt as if he was forced into his role as a prophet. See, the calling of God, brother, is heavy. Can I get an amen? Amen. If you're called by God, hey, listen, I was at a position where I really didn't want to preach. I was the most introverted person on the face of the planet. When I was first saved, my pastor looked at me. He said, Brother Charles, you know you got to look at people now. And that, pardon me, when I was called to ministry, he said, you know you got to look at people now. It made my heart skip a beat. I didn't want to have to look at people when I talked to them. Because I was very shy. I thought people were trying to critique my words too much. I thought I didn't have anything to say. But when the Holy Spirit is inside of you, you got a whole lot to say. When you get in God's word, listen, it's like fire shut up in your bones. And Jesus told his disciples, he said, listen, when I go away, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit back to you. And he's going to give you what to say. If we're walking around here today and we don't have anything to say, maybe we need to question. Question, are we in this? Are we being sensitive to the Spirit? It means he wasn't being rude. I want to be honest with you this morning. We serve a God that wants us to bring our questions to him. Come on, somebody. Help me this morning. We're going to get this done. God wants you to bring your questions to him because he wants to answer them. Because he knows if we don't allow him to answer our questions, we're going to go to somebody else. And see, that's what happened to Israel. They decided that they wanted to go to someone else. So they started trusting in Ashtaroth. They started trusting in Molech. And they started trusting in Baal. And I promise you today, if we may not trust in Baal and we may not trust in Ashtaroth, but we'll trust in Mammon and we'll create our own gods and we'll cut out pieces of wood and make gods out of them. And we will learn to trust in those things and those objects, our jobs and in those things that we think are really supporting us. On the surface they may be, but inside of it is a living God who's giving you the things that you need to live. and he's wanting you to trust him. Are we going to be a church that trusts God, or are we going to be a church that trusts in what we can do? We got a nice building and a growing church. We're seeing new faces coming all the time, and there's a lot of excitement, and it's easy to get into a mode of just having church, but I don't want to just have church. I want there to be an encounter, and after encounter with the living God, and let lives be changed by the power of his spirit. We're not trying to build a machine, because Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. If the church is not built around him, it's not the church at all. It's just another social gathering of people coming together, having a good old time, and going home and leaving the way that they came. But when we have an encounter with Jesus, lives are changed. Jeremiah wanted the people to have an encounter with God. He wanted them to have an encounter with God so that they could be changed. The call of God on your life is a burden at times that has the potential to produce a harvest. There are times that the call of God can be so heavy that it breaks you to tiny pieces. But the call of God can be so heavy on your life that it breaks you for the lost people of your city. Don't let that go over your head. This is why it bothers me so much when I see born-again people relaxed in the church without a care in the world. Do you hear me? When the power of God is on your life, when you have been saved, when you have been delivered, when you have been set free, when God really radically saves you, something happens. And down inside, your eyes are open. Paul's eyes were open when he was in Damascus. The lady at the well, when Jesus met her at the well, something radically happened that caused her to say, listen, you guys got to come and see a man that told me all about myself. At that moment, that lady trusted in every word of Jesus. She began to preach the good news that Jesus is in town. I don't care what's going on in our world. I don't care what you're going through in life. We need to preach the gospel. We need to tell people about Jesus. I don't care how many smart atheists are out there that could use big and impressive words. We need to keep it simple. We need to preach the gospel. If you don't know any scripture, you can tell people that Jesus saves. How does he save? Let me tell you, sit down for a moment. I was once in sin, and I was blind, but now I see. I couldn't deliver myself, but he delivered me. Let me tell you something. God is real, church. I feel like preaching, like some old-time preaching up in here this morning. I got to contain myself. In this text, Jeremiah faithfully stood on God's word in spite of his prophecies not yet coming to pass. It was because he was standing. Somebody say he was standing on God's word. Okay, that's enough. No. That he felt shame. Did you hear that? It was because he was standing on God's word that he felt ashamed. So what are you saying, preacher? If I'm preaching something that makes you feel good all the time, it might not be God's word. It may be mixed with the whole sum of God's word, but it might be a whole lot of Charles. Or it may be mixed with a whole lot of God's word, but a little tweak. If there's a little tweak, you just distorted the whole thing. A little leaven is what leavens the whole lump. It's the small foxes that spoils the vine. The devil doesn't need a whole lot of room to come in your life. He just needs a little breach, a little hair fracture in your life. He just need a moment. He just need a
second in your life to come inside and wreak havoc in your life. And you'll wonder why things are going awry. You'll wonder why things are so chaotic in your life, because the enemy saw that little hair fracture and he said, that is a way in. Hey, listen, they don't read the Bible like they should. And for some of us, if we go one day without reading our Bible, for others, it's the little compromise on the job. It's the little fudge on our taxes. It's the, am I knocking on your door this morning? I want to preach the gospel this morning. Can we do that? And he felt ashamed because he was telling the truth. He felt embarrassment and received harsh ridicule because he was standing on God's word. He received this from his country, man. The greatest challenge today is standing, even when it's not popular. Standing, even when it doesn't feel good. And standing, even when it means that you have to stand alone. In verse 9, we see that no matter what difficulty Jeremiah faced, he could not depart from the very one or the very thing that would deliver his people from not only physical bondage, but from spiritual bondage. See, God not only wants to deliver you from physical bondage, he wants to deliver you from spiritual bondage. Delivering you from physical bondage can't save you. If he had delivered his children, the children of Israel, from physical bondage, what would have happened? They probably would have fallen right back into the same old thing. The prophecy that Isaiah and Ezekiel, as much as they had a physical deliverance to them, there was a spiritual deliverance. Because Israel, the whole promise is that Israel is not only going to be delivered from their adversaries, but they're going to be delivered spiritually. God does a healing in the church so that some doubter can see it. God does healings in your life and work miracles in your life so that you can trust him more, so that your faith will be increased. He felt this way even if it meant throwing him in a dungeon. Jeremiah trusted in God. Even if they desired to throw him in the stockades, he trusted God. Time after time, he had to learn to trust and obey. 40 years, Jeremiah faced opposition. Jesus, 40 days in the wilderness, tempted by the adversary. There's significance in 40 days. Your 40 days may be the worst time of your life. The wilderness experience for Jesus wasn't an easy one. How would you like to go 40 days without food? How would you like to go 40 years and preaching the gospel, but no one ever gets saved? No one ever turn around. No one ever listens to you. What if it was some of your spiritual leaders that you looked up to, and this word of God, word came from God, and you are to tell them exactly what God had to say? How many of you got family members right now that you have preached the gospel to, but they reject it, and they reject it, they laugh at you, they mock you? Listen, it's left up to that individual. Right. Don't beat yourself over the back. There's a side of us, and it's called a selfish side, and it comes from the flesh, the sarx, that's S-A-R-X, and the sarx wants what it wants. The sarx can be in church and clapping their hands and loving on Jesus, but when the first storm comes, they They try to find a way out and find something that's going to bring satisfaction and healing. Sarx is that one that causes a faithful husband or wife to do something unfaithful. Sarx is that one that causes us to speak out of turn when we should be quiet, and when we're gossiping and slandering and doing things that's contrary to the spirit, that is the flesh that rises up inside of us that causes us to do those things. The same flesh that causes us not to trust God, that causes us not to depend on God, that causes us to backbite. Amen. Once they took Jeremiah, I want you to understand something. This man went through it. He went through it. This is not, we read this and we have preachers preaching and we preach these sermons and we get you all excited, but can I stop in the roll for a minute and just share one story with you about the prophet? Once they took Jeremiah and cast him into a cistern of Malchiah, the king's son, which was in the court of the guard, letting Jeremiah down by ropes. And there was no water in the cistern, but only mud, and Jeremiah sank in the mud. You have to understand that Jeremiah was about to die. He was sinking like sinking sand, like he was sinking. His entire body was going to eventually be covered in mud, and he was going to die. There was another time that men would tell him, "We are going to kill you if you don't be quiet." If anyone faced hopeless struggle, faced a hopeless struggle, it was Jeremiah. But even though he faced such a trial, he knew God would deliver him someday and knew that he would prosper in him. And this gave him hope. Have you ever been let down in a dungeon? Can you imagine just tied up and you're about to be burned to death at a stake? What would you do? What if it was your child that they were beating in front of you, beating your child to death? What would you do? And they're telling you to deny Jesus. What would we do? See, I know there's some slick willy preachers out there that would tell you, "Oh, if you say you deny him, he'll understand." Can I share something with you? What do we stand on? Say it, somebody. The Word of God. Not one time in Scripture have we ever read where a believer denied Christ for some satisfaction or some kind of temporary deliverance. No, in fact, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11 that they faithfully went to the jeers. That they were faithfully beaten to death. Their babies were snatched from them. Where's the church at this morning? Those were the heroes of faith. If they're heroes of faith, if you were a famous basketball player, who would you model yourself after? You will model yourself after those who exemplified a talent that got them placed in the Hall of Fame. As a believer, the same way we're supposed to, that's why Paul wrote that the author of Hebrews is unknown, but it seems to have the tone of the Apostle Paul. That's why Paul wrote that we, because he wanted us to follow the example of those who were the heroes of the faith. Even if that means death. Now, I said all of that to say this this morning to you this morning, that Jeremiah chapter 19, now we can read it within context. Verse 11, you have to understand that the people of God were in bondage during this time. But we like to quote these scriptures and stand on these scriptures without understanding the full context of what they're saying. Jeremiah chapter 11, 29, verse 11, this is what he says, for I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord, plans for peace and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Really, God? Really? Why am I all the way over here? My loved ones are way over there. How come our king was taken off and his eyes were plucked out and his sons were killed before his face? And we were mocked, we were ridiculed, we were beaten, we were whipped. You have a plan for me? Really? God, well, I grew up with a whole lot of disadvantages. I grew up in a single parent home, and now you're telling me that I need to be a good father. God, I have this sickness in my body, and I don't know how I'm going to be healed, but you're telling me that you have a plan for me. God, I'm walking through a tough season in my marriage, and you're telling me that you have a plan for me. God, my children really, really don't like me, but you're telling me you have a plan for me. God, I had dreams about my loved ones being saved and in the church and serving you with all of their heart, but you have a plan for me? I'm talking about trust this morning. Your faith is going to be strengthened this morning when you learn to trust God in the difficult seasons of your life, because when you come out, you're going to come out as fine as gold. When you come out tried in the fire, pressed on every side, you're going to come out like a diamond. You're going to come out better than you went in. If you go through faithfully, the devil is in trouble. Do you hear me? If you come out faithfully trusting in God, the devil is in trouble. Why? Because your faith has been increased. I know the plans that I have for you. The people of God in this text this morning, they had a choice. They had a decision that they needed to make. And God was saying, listen, I know the plans that I have for you. I know that it doesn't look good. But if you go through this season, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Listen, if you go through the season, I promise you, you'll come out better than when you went in. It hurts going in, but I promise you, you're going to come out dancing. Maybe God is wanting to give somebody their joy back. He's going to give you beauty for your ashes. For 70 years, Jeremiah and God's people had to trust and obey. Really get your head around that. For 70 years, they were to live normal lives in spite of their present situations. When I wrote this down, I'm going to repeat it again, but when I wrote this down, I'm sure God gave me a word this morning for somebody. I want you to hear me, church. Quieten yourself this morning. Quieten your spirit. For 70 years, Jeremiah and God's people were in a position that they had to trust and obey. For 70 years, they were to live life as normal in spite of their present situation. God is wanting you to live. This is the word God gave me. I know God gave me this word. I know he did. God is wanting you to live life as normal as you walk through this season. I know that it is difficult, and like Jeremiah, there are times that you want to quit and throw in the towel. This morning, God is saying to somebody in this house, your ability to remain in this season and stay consistent, your ability to remain is an outward expression
of your trust. In spite of what it looks like, your ability to remain faithful to the things of God reveals your inward trust. We often see trust and faithfulness associated with some abundance of things. The disciples were to trust God even while the storm was raging on that little boat. The key thing that we need to remember is that he's on that boat with us. You're not on that boat alone. What God wants us to get this morning is your obedience will determine your deliverance. Your obedience will determine your deliverance. We teach our children this way. If you can prove to me that you've learned from this experience, I'll let you get out of timeout. If you prove to me that you've learned from this experience, I'll take the punishment off. One of the primary reasons that God punished Israel was because of their failure to trust and to obey. The author of Hebrews tells us in Hebrews 9, chapter 12, 9 through 11, furthermore, we have all had earthly fathers who disciplined us as we respected them. Should we not much more submit to the Father's spirits and live? Our fathers disciplined us for a short time as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good so that we may share in his holiness. Why does he discipline us? So that we may share in his holiness. That's why he disciplines us. As parents, we discipline our children because we want them to learn to trust and obey. God disciplines us because he wants us to trust and obey. In Jeremiah chapter 17, Jeremiah just had closed a section of scripture where he recognizes that there are those who departed from God. This is why he's praying, and he acknowledges the righteousness of God in abandoning those to ruin that forsook him and revolted in their allegiance to him. If we look back at verse 13, look back with me. Jeremiah says, O Lord, the hope of Israel, all who forsake you will be ashamed. Those who depart from me in the earth will be written down because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living water. He recognizes that those who depart from me, Jeremiah, from the word of God which I have preached, do in effect depart from God. And that their names are like names written in dust, which describes the lack of stability in their calling and their relationship with God. It is almost as if Jeremiah was saying, as Paul would say many years later, I don't want to be preaching to others while I myself become a castaway. Do you hear me this morning? We're getting ready to wrap this up this morning. The psalmist said it this way. If the case of those that depart from God be so miserable, let me always draw nigh to him. When we stop trusting God, it may be good for a moment, temporarily, but eventually, your life is going to become miserable. And in order to do that, Lord, heal me and save me. Let me always draw nigh to him. This is the preacher. Heal my backslidings, my bent to backslide. How many of you know that we're bent to backslide? If we can come this morning, we're going to get ready to wrap this up. It's in us. When life starts to weigh on us, guys, I keep saying it over and over again. We're bent to backslide. We're bent to lean to our own understanding. When life is not going the way that we desire for it to go, we start to critique the Word of God. And we start to make God's Word say things that it's not saying. That's a dangerous place to be, church. That's a dangerous place to be, to make God's Word say something that it does not say. We see in the book of Jeremiah, around the 29th chapter, the old prophet came in and he prophesied a lot to the people and caused the people to think that they were going to get out of bondage in 2 years. And he broke the yoke, took the yoke and broke it. He took the yoke from Jeremiah and he took it. Monica, he took that yoke off of Jeremiah and he slammed it to the ground. He said, just as God has broken this yoke, you broke the bondage of your enemy is going to be broken off of you. And it wasn't long after Jeremiah left from the presence of Haniel and God began to speak to Jeremiah. And he told Jeremiah, listen, there Hananiah prophesied a lie to you. But since you believed him, he said, I'm going to not only place a yoke of wood upon you, but I'm going to place a yoke of iron upon you. On the surface, one would say God is being mean and God is being vindictive. But God would do whatever it takes to get you and I to trust him because he loves us that much.
Amen.
It's not because he hates you. This is what the prophet says, and save me from being carried away by the strength of the streams to forsake thee, by my strength, the cares of life, the current that comes that causes. How many of you ever been in the current of life and life seems to be flowing so fast and life seems to be so difficult? And the next thing you know, you're taken away by it. You're swept away by it. In Jeremiah's ministry, he was continually exposed to the malice of unreasonable men. Lord, save me from them. Let me not fall into their wicked hands. Heal me or sanctify me by thy grace. Save me, which is just another way of saying, bring me to your glory. I've talked with people. If you'll stand this morning. I've talked with people who are ready for the Lord to come. Their hearts and our hearts are in agreement with the Apostle John as he records the book of Revelation on the Isle of Patmos. And this is what he says, he who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming soon, speaking of Jesus. He's coming soon, church. And this was John's response. Amen. Come. Come, Lord Jesus. I don't know about you, but I'm ready for this temporary, this earthen vessel to be made incorruptible. For mortality to put on immortality. Paul said that we'll be changed in the twinkling of an eye. It's a mystery. But he's coming, church. And the preacher will be able to lay down his Bible and not have to preach another message because the one that we preach about will be in front of us. The truth, the way, the life. The truth, the way, the life will be in front of us. But until he comes,
We need to be faithful until he comes. We need to say, I trust you. Until he comes, we need to obey him. Until he comes, no matter what comes our way, no matter what obstacles we face, no matter what difficulties we're going through, Lord, I trust you. In spite of the shame that society seems to plague us with, God, I trust you. In spite of the ups and downs of life and relationships and our health and all of the things that go along with that, Lord, I trust you. This morning, the enemy of our soul, he's very upset this morning because we're preaching a gospel message about trusting in Jesus, because he knows that we're having difficulties and trials and tests that we're going through in life. And the last thing that he wants us to do is to trust in God. Do you trust him this morning? If you bow your heads this morning, if you're here this morning and you would say, Pastor, you hit a home run in my life. I haven't been trusting Jesus like I should. I have leaned to my own understanding. I have consulted with other means of trying to find answers. If that's you this morning, with every head bowed in here this morning, if you'll lift your hand and say, I'm struggling with trust because of a season I'm in, lift your hand this morning. See those hands. I see those hands. If you're here this morning, you just feel like giving up because all the pressures of life. Would you lift your hand this morning? I see those hands. If you're here this morning and you want to make Jesus your personal Lord and Savior, if you're either backslidden or have not accepted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, would you slip your hand up this morning? Amen. If you're wanting prayer this morning, if you raise your hand this morning, wanting someone to pray with you and believe with you this morning, if I could have some leaders to come at this time. If what I said, the options that I gave you didn't speak to you, but if you're wanting prayer for something else in your life, if you're believing God for something, if you need healing in your body, if you just want somebody to agree with you, if you're needing an answer from God, if you whatever you're needing this morning, if you'll come now and someone to pray for you, come now if you want prayer for whatever. Come now. Come now. Amen. And if God speaks to you, come. Come.
Living Hope Assembly of God.